Are you searching for a deeper understanding of yourself and your place in the world? Do you yearn for more balance, more peace, and purpose in your life? Well, look no further than the Intuitive Revolution Podcast, your trusted source for holistic insights and intuitive guidance. I'm your host, Alicia Ferricelli, and I am ready to take you on a journey to inner peace and balanced well-being. After spending 9 years in the electronic medical record software industry, Larissa decided it was time for a career change into something more meaningful. A lifelong interest in natural remedies and herbal medicine led her to enroll into the Chinese herbalism classes and then acupuncture school. She graduated from East West College of Natural Medicine in Sarasota, Florida, with a master's in Oriental Medicine and a BS in Professional Health Science. Before that, she attended the University of South Florida and obtained a BA in Informational Systems Management. Larissa is originally from Denver, Colorado, and enjoys spending time with her family, learning about other cultures, hiking, traveling, martial arts, and dancing. Thank you, Larissa, for joining us today. I'm super excited. We haven't had anyone on here yet talking about acupuncture and Chinese medicine. It's going to be such a great topic today. Your transition from the software industry to herbalism and ultimately acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine is quite remarkable. What was the pivotal moment that sparked the significant career change?
Yeah, so, you know, after about 9 years of working in a corporate job, doing support and training for electronic medical record software systems, I kind of just felt like a hamster on hamster wheel, just like a corporate slave, as I call it. I just lost my passion for what I was doing and just was kind of miserable, and I wanted to just do something completely different. So I kind of just thinking about what I wanted to do that was different, and one day I kind of stumbled upon a place in St. Pete. It's called Great American Natural Products. They have an apothecary there. And I just stepped into that space and I was just like in awe of the wall of herbal medicine that they had. And I was just like, I knew like I just wanted to study herbs at that point. So I started to study Chinese herbalism with Dr. Bob Lindy in St. Pete for about a year. And then I decided I wanted to take it a step further, do more than just herbalism and do traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture. So I enrolled in acupuncture school. And yeah, so that was a long process, about 3.5 years of schooling, board exams, licensing. But it was all worth it. I love what I do. I love helping people with natural medicine.
That's so awesome. You found your passion and then went for it.
Yes. So important to like enjoy what you do.
Absolutely. Yeah. So many people are curious about how acupuncture works. Can you explain the basic principles of acupuncture and how it effectively relieves pain according to Chinese or traditional Chinese medicine?
Yeah, a lot of people have that question. So acupuncture affects many systems in the body, the nervous system, endocrine system, vascular system, and the fascia system. So it helps to move stuck or stagnant energy. It encourages the movement of blood, and stagnation, as we call it, maybe due to physical or even emotional trauma. We put a heavy emphasis on balancing your emotions. Like if your emotions are not expressed properly or they're repressed or held back, this can, you know, cause issues down the road with imbalance in the body that can manifest as emotional or mental or physical disease. And, you know, pain in the body can be due to physical or emotional trauma. If there's blood or qi that's stagnated, you can kind of think of that as like a traffic jam or like a backed up water main. If things are not flowing properly, you're going to have pain and pressure, and disease will manifest. So in Chinese medicine, our goal is to empower the body to heal itself. We have an innate ability to heal ourselves. Sometimes our body just needs to be pushed in the right direction to be able to do that. So I use a lot of modalities in my practice, not just acupuncture, but herbal medicine, cupping, moxibustion, and cold laser therapy to help someone achieve balance and reduce pain.
So compare like traditional medicine, because a lot of people are familiar with growing, and that's a lot of this podcast is about, not really getting people away from traditional medicine, but also opening them up to more alternative resources. What would you have to say to someone who's, I mean, they're like, what is, first of all, what is acupuncture? What is Chinese medicine, traditional Chinese medicine? What, you know, why should anyone consider that?
So traditional Chinese medicine, it's a system of medicine that's been around for about 5,000 years. It started in China, developed over the centuries, and it really started by observing the body, the signs and symptoms that the body gives us, and really takes into consideration eating with the seasons, living in harmony with the seasons, not ignoring the small signs and symptoms that we have until they get, snowball into bigger issues, like more like preventative medicine, keeping harmony and balance physically, emotionally, spiritually. So I get a lot of patients that come to me that don't want to go the conventional medicine route. I'd say probably 70% of the people I see for acupuncture, because they don't want to be prescribed medications, pharmaceutical meds, and they don't want to have surgery. So they want to avoid those things and go with a more holistic approach, less invasive approach, and just they don't want all the side effects from medications.
Yeah. Awesome. So what do you say to people for acupuncture that are afraid of needles? I know that's probably a crazy question.
Yeah, some people...
Describe the process. I've been through acupuncture, but kind of describe the process to our listeners.
Yeah, I try to put people at ease who are nervous, maybe the first time they're getting acupuncture. And one interesting fact is that men tend to be more afraid of needles than women. So they tend to be the nervous ones, but acupuncture doesn't have to be painful to work. My needling technique is very gentle, so a lot of people will comment about how gentle my needling technique is. A lot of patients will leave the clinic feeling relaxed and just de-stressed. So yeah, it's really nothing to be afraid of. The needles I use are so thin. They're like the size of a cat's whisker. It's nothing like a hypodermic needle that you would get blood drawn. So it's very small and non-invasive.
Yeah, it's really cool. And the first time I had acupuncture, I was like, I don't want the needles going. That's so weird to me. And then I was like, oh, they're in me already. So that was very awesome. So you specialize in natural facial rejuvenation using safe methods. Can you describe what this involves and how acupuncture plays a role in this process?
Yep. So my natural approach to facial rejuvenation, my saying is health and radiance from the inside out. I don't just work on the face. I address the whole entire person. Nutrition is a huge thing. I give nutritional advice, diet and lifestyle recommendations. I incorporate that with my facial rejuvenation treatments. I do everything from microneedling, cosmetic acupuncture, facial cupping and gua sha, and I use Swarovski crystal ear seeds, which it's like reflexology for the ear, and it's just super blingy and fun. But
that sounds
I
amazing.
Yeah, so you can definitely use my approach to combat, fine lines, wrinkles, anti-aging, without, Botox fillers or facelifts, things that are more invasive and maybe have bad side effects. With my approach, there's no bad side effects, no risk of, infection, and it's just, a more natural approach, which I think is better.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, if you take the natural approach, go for that for sure.
Absolutely.
So gut health is such a huge central topic in holistic wellness. From your perspective, why is gut health so crucial and how does it influence overall well-being?
Yeah, gut health is so important. It's you know, something that I always stress to people, you know, what you eat really does matter. 70% of our immune system comes from our gut health. And, you know, the gut-brain axis is so important. You know, our vagus nerve is a major component of our autonomic nervous system. You know, the communication between the brain and the gut. Our gut produces hormones and neurotransmitters like cortisol and serotonin. So we have a diverse community of microorganisms in our gut. It's called the gut microbiota. And, you know, they produce metabolites that interact with our nervous system and influence that gut-brain axis. And a major thing that destroys or disrupts that gut microbiome is a chemical called glyphosate. It's the chemical in Roundup weed killer. It's sprayed on all the, you know, conventional crops before they're harvested. And, you know, it's prevalent in the foods that we consume. Over 70% of the foods at the grocery store contain residual glyphosate in it. And you can't wash it off of produce. You can't cook it out. It's in there. And when we eat that food, it becomes, you know, a part of us and it disrupts our gut. And over 90% of beer and wine contain glyphosate. And it causes so many different diseases, everything from ADHD, it contributes to that, tumors, cancer, skin issues, food allergies, mood disruption. So, you know, I have a program where I advocate healthy organic superfood nutrition and detoxing glyphosate from the body. And I have a product it's been clinically proven to remove 74% of glyphosate from the body in just 6 weeks. Wow. And so that's huge. It really, you know, does wonders. You know, just by changing your diet, you can really change a lot of things with your health. And a lot of kids that, you know, eat junk food, you know, too much sugar, food dyes, artificial coloring, you know, all these things together with, you know, the glyphosate really affects kids too. And I have two kids myself, and I've personally experienced behavioral issues with one of my kids really because of what she's eating. So we've been trying to segue onto a more organic diet.
Yeah.
And, you know, detoxing glyphosate, which has been improving her behavior.
Yeah. So speaking of parents, what kind of advice would you have for parents that are to get their children away from all the processed, I guess, the processed foods that are so typical for their diets?
Yeah, it can be difficult, you know, because they, you know, get food from at school. My daughter gets breakfast at school. It's like free to all the kids. She gets a snack at aftercare, so you can't always control what she's eating, and she'll get a hold of candy from friends.
Of course.
So, I mean, you can't like completely eliminate that stuff, but you can try to, you know, talk to your child and coach him or her as to like why you want her to like not eat so much candy, why you want her to eat the healthy foods, explaining why. And once you start getting onto that track of eating healthier foods and less refined foods and junk food, the body will start to crave the healthier foods.
Yeah.
So our gut microbiome, you know, the bad gut bacteria tends to crave the sugars and carbs And when you start rehabilitating that, it, you know, you start to crave the healthier foods, the whole food nutrition.
Yeah, they can start, I could think when they start feeling better, have more energy, then they'll start more kind of grasp onto you to the concept of it. And I feel like, and today, maybe today, like when I was growing up, you know, it's like, oh, you hot dogs, hamburgers, you know, nobody really cared. But I feel like today parents are taking a little more responsibility for what's going into their certain parent, like certain into their, there's a little more awareness about it, I guess, and say bills.
Yeah. I think when I was growing up, I don't remember there being like organic grocery stores. Like it wasn't really a thing. But I think we've come a long way. There's a lot of people more health conscious these days. There's a lot more healthy options as far as restaurants and grocery stores go. My mom
it tastes
was my mom was vegetarian, and back in the 80s and 90s, like, I felt so bad for her. Like, there was really no vegetarian options, like, you know, vegetarian friendly places. It's like completely different now, thank goodness.
Yeah, the awareness is awesome. And treating common ailments, how do you approach gut health issues with acupuncture and TCM? Are there any specific techniques or treatments that you find particularly effective?
So when I see new patients, I ask a lot of questions. I observe the patient. I look at their complexion, they take the pulse, look at the tongue. The tongue and pulse diagnosis really tells us a lot about the patient as to whether what's excess or deficient, whether there's heat or cold. And it really helps to form a differential diagnosis. I do a lot with moxibustion for the stomach, the digestive system. Moxibustion is the burning of an herb called mugwort over specific acupoints over the skin. So the heat from that herb is a very therapeutic heat, and it really helps a lot with things like IBS, constipation, diarrhea, also, you know, things like fibroids and women's health issues, infertility. So it's a really a powerful modality. And I also use traditional Chinese medicine food therapy advice. So for example, if someone comes to me and they're having a lot of issues with bloating, diarrhea, fatigue, I'll ask them, you know, are you drinking a lot of ice cold water, a lot of smoothies, raw vegetables, raw salads? Because these things are cold in nature, and they tax the spleen, can end up causing these symptoms. So I advise them to go on a more warm cooked foods diet, like soups, stews, stir fries, not to have the ice cold water, have room temperature water, or even better, you know, warm tea, ginger tea, to kind of give their digestion a little bit of fire. So these symptoms start to go away. And a lot of issues with digestion in Chinese medicine have to do with the spleen, stomach, and the liver. So I work with people on those acupuncture meridians for those organ systems to help smooth liver qi, which can in turn smooth the digestive process and help with alleviating a lot of symptoms that they're experiencing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so funny. So a lot of this sounds like Ayurveda kind of ties into the same type of concepts there. And I've always told like my coaching clients, like, stop drinking ice cold water. Stop drinking ice cold water. It's like the worst thing for your digestion. And nobody ever considers that until they stop doing it. And they're like, oh, well.
Yeah. And then one thing I could never understand is like when I'm flying on an airplane and people are, it's like freezing cold and people are like asking for ice water. I'm just like, just give me water, no ice.
Yeah.
Like it's gotta be like room temperature all the time. Yeah, I'm a big proponent on room temperature water. And I'm a big tea drinker. Tea, there's so many health benefits to tea.
Yep, I got my don't have my tea here, but usually my tea in the morning and then my bottle of room temperature water with a little bit of orange juice in it. So
there you go.
That's my go-to.
That's perfect.
So given your specialized training in pain relief, can you share a success story or a case where acupuncture significantly improved a patient's quality of life?
Yeah, I can give you a couple of examples. One patient of mine, he didn't really want to try acupuncture. So I used fire cupping to help him with his back pain. So he's had back pain for 20 plus years. He used to be a cop. So, you know, having to wear a lot of equipment, a lot of physical labor. So he has chronic back pain from his job. He's retired now, but he's been just living with the pain ever since then. And I did some fire cupping on his back. The next day I asked him, how he felt, and he said he was totally pain-free. I followed up with him, a couple months later, and he was still pain-free. And wow. So he's been like telling everyone to come to me, so relieve their pain. Yeah, so fire cupping is so amazing for any type of back pain, chronic or acute. Scoliosis, it helps with pain and discomfort from that, and also helps with a lot of lung issues. And one other patient I had, she had a traumatic injury. She got run over or hit by a car on her bicycle and had a lot of pain and nerve damage as a result. It was on a prescription medication called Lyrica for nerve pain. So she started coming to me weekly for acupuncture treatments. And I used some homeopathy with her. She was able to wean off of the Lyrica almost completely. And she started taking herbal medicine that I recommended to her. So that was like a huge win for her.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's always such a big deal when people can come off of pain medication and use a more holistic mm-hmm. approach, and then it works better and their yes. lifestyle improves.
Yes. So yeah, I love helping people with pain relief because it's just so rewarding seeing the progress and seeing them come off of their prescription medications.
Yeah, that's amazing. So we'll go back to natural facial rejuvenation. It's still such a fascinating area. What are some misconceptions people might have about the treatment, and what results can people realistically expect?
So yeah, you can really reduce the signs of aging with a natural approach without Botox fillers or facelifts. One thing that you can expect is to, see results that are going to last like up to 5 years with the cosmetic acupuncture. So what I do is a series of 12 sessions, one session per week, of cosmetic acupuncture. And I also do body acupuncture as well because I address the whole person, right. Helping with, balancing the person and of course, giving them diet and lifestyle advice, giving them tools to use to, empower themselves to take better care of themselves, because that's really reflected on the outside as to how we look when other people look at us. So cosmetic acupuncture is great for fine lines, wrinkles, dull complexion, age spots, jowls, sagging skin. I can also use microneedling on the scalp for thinning hair, male pattern baldness. Hmm. And microneedling sessions are about once a month for 4 to 6 sessions. And then you can use derma rolling at home for maintenance at that point. After the last session, I give people a derma roller to do at home. And that really helps to, make their results last. And as far as like facial cupping and gua sha go, one misconception people have is that I leave marks or like bruises on the face when I do the cupping on the face, which is not true. The way I learned a technique from an acupuncturist, she's very gentle, and the way I do it, I absolutely do not leave marks on someone's face. And yeah, cupping a gua sha are so good for the face. They moves stagnant lymph. It helps to reduce fine lines and wrinkles. It helps with rosacea, and it just feels great.
It does. I have my gua sha tool. My daughter actually got me for Christmas, and I know it's probably nothing like what you have, but it's every single day, and it's like I've noticed like the inflammation or on my face just not really melting.
Oh yeah.
So much better. It's such a good, like almost like a mini facial you can do on yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So diet and nutrition play such a significant role in TCM. How do you integrate dietary advice and healthy eating habits into your treatment plans for patients? I know we talked a little bit more about that, but like go into a little more detail.
Yeah. So I just started really incorporating more of a nutritional component into my practice just last year. As I'm learning more and more about gut health and how really important it is to have proper nutrition, eating organic. So whenever I get a patient coming to me for really anything, I always ask them about what they're eating, how they're eating, if they're taking a probiotic. So I also give my patients access to an app that it's like a self-care app. So they can, once they leave the clinic here, they're still able to incorporate some of the things, so some of my suggestions, including traditional Chinese medicine food therapy advice, to maintain their results and prevent themselves from getting sick again in the future.
I love that. You actually give them something to take away. Instead of being like, here's this, you're on your own, you actually give them the tools to succeed. I think that's super important.
Yeah. And my business coach, she's an acupuncturist. She's like, you don't want to treat them and street them. That's not the way you do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't treat and street. I actually care about what they're, doing after they leave here. I like empowering them to be able to like live the rest of their life, healthy eating, diet, lifestyle, exercise, drinking water. So many people just don't drink enough water. It's really just simple things that if people just tweak, drinking more water, stop drinking soda, and just being a little more mindful when it comes to eating can really like make big changes.
Yeah, I feel like it's 80% of what how your body feels is your diet.
Yeah, for
do
sure.
Everything else and be physical, but if you're putting a bunch of crap into yourself, then that's how you're gonna feel. So
yeah, garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. So smoking cessation is another area you help patients with. How does acupuncture support individuals looking to quit smoking? And what should they anticipate during this process?
So I have a protocol for smoking cessation that I use. It includes acupuncture, ear seeds, and asp needles, which are like ear seeds, but there are needles that they stay in the ear for about a week. And so besides that, I provide my patients with supportive material and like a video tutorial to help coach them and increase their success rate to quit. And it could take anywhere between 1 and 5 sessions for someone to quit, but really like their mindset is the most important thing. If someone comes to me and they don't necessarily want to quit or really motivated to quit, they just want to see if I can magically make them stop smoking. They probably aren't going to be successful. So mindset is really important.
Yeah.
And as a former smoker myself, I smoked in my early 20s. I really understand the struggle with addiction and how your social environment and what the people that you're around can factor into your success at quitting. So I understand that aspect. So I love helping people stop smoking because that it really, really improves health in so many ways.
Yeah. I was a smoker too. Until in my 20s, until I got pregnant with my daughter. And then that was like my 2 weeks later, I quit. Like cold turkey, perfectly
yeah,
fine.
That's a powerful
I was
motivator.
Like, I'm so glad. Now I'm like, I can't be around that much, but it's amazing how your mindset shifts around that. But that's great. Anyone in the St. Petersburg area, you need to go see her if you're looking to quit smoking for sure. Yeah. So for someone considering acupuncture or TCM for the first time, what advice do you have to give them to ensure they have a positive and effective experience?
So, yeah, I really encourage people to try traditional Chinese medicine as a first resort and not as a last resort. I get some people that really just have tried everything else and are just miserable and in so much pain. And then they try acupuncture and then they get better. So, you know, also doing preventative care is great. I tell people don't expect to be magically cured from just one treatment. It really depends on how long you've had a condition, how long you've been in pain, your diet and lifestyle, the environment you work in. There's so many factors that play into how many treatments to expect to get better. And then there's maintenance treatments to make sure you attain those, maintain those results, and being consistent with treatment regimen. Herbal medication or herbal recommendations that are given, following diet and lifestyle recommendations is so important. I always tell people when you're coming in for a treatment for the first time, make sure you have eaten something that day, that you're not fasting. I don't do acupuncture if someone's on a fast because acupuncture can tend to lower the blood sugar, and I don't want people passing out after a treatment, as I've seen it happen before. Not from my patient, and someone else's patient actually vomited and passed out from just having one needle put in.
Oh, wow.
And she, she had had the acupuncture on an empty stomach. So we want to avoid that. And I would just encourage people to try acupuncture, even if you may be a little afraid of it, because, you know, acupuncture has so many health benefits and it's not painful. It's actually super relaxing. A lot of people leave the clinic super relaxed and just maybe a little loopy sometimes. I call it an acu-high.
Yeah.
But everybody that tries it loves it. You know, there's a few people that are needle sensitive, and for those people, I use thinner needles. So they're, you know, experience less sensation with the needles, but still get a great treatment. So when I do cupping, it removes a lot of stagnant lymph fluid. So it's always important to stay hydrated after getting fire cupping, because it's a great myofascial release, kind of like a massage. So you want to stay hydrated and not do a lot of heavy lifting or strenuous exercise after an acupuncture treatment.
So treat it like your special, almost like a spa day for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So some people come here to the clinic I'm at. We have other practitioners here that do Reiki, Tibetan sound bowl therapy. And then myself, I do acupuncture. So some people just come here, get a Reiki treatment and then acupuncture, or actually combine the two, have it at the same time.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Have a really great experience. Yeah, I've been talking with one of our Tibet Ensemble therapy practitioners about collaborating and doing an event where we do a group sound bath and then acupuncture at the same time to kind of elevate their experience.
That's so typical. Let me know when you do that. I'm holding that for that.
Yes, I will.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us. As always, I learned so much about it. And if you're in the St. Petersburg area, go see her. Do you do any type of virtual consultations with people out of state?
I do telehealth calls, but only for people in the state of Florida because I'm only licensed in the state of Florida.
Okay. Well, if you're in the state of Florida, go see her or come down and take a vacation in St. Pete and then go check it out.
Yes. So,
awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me as a guest. It was great talking to you, Alicia.
You as well.